Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there and like you're the people on the panel, so I'm like taking pot shots at Brian Brom. Because like that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you. Because no. I
feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know. I couldn't though. No. I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. It's an important day in the world of football analytics and reporting as Aaron Schott's annual Excellent Football Almanac is available for download. FTNFantasy.com is where you can now find Aaron, whose work is renowned in the industry, and it's our honor to have him on again with us today. He's been on as many times as you probably know. Aaron, we took the opportunity of your visiting us today to talk about MVP voting. Can you guess why?
I'm sort of famous for that now, I guess.
Yes. Well, just, you know, one of the things, it's fun to talk about. I feel like we could just do it all day, the odds and all of it, because the narratives are so, I think, important to at least how some see the award and all there is to say about. You know, like, for example, Allen has lost Stephon Diggs now. And if he puts up the same stats as last year, maybe more people would be sort of, I guess, impressed. I mean, he's already been impressive. But maybe he would get more credit in a world where he doesn't have, a so-called number one receiver.
Yeah, I think usually there is a better standout candidate than there was last year. Last year, the player with the best stats was Brock Purdy. And people, I think, with good reason, believe that, you know, Purdy's stats were somewhat bumped up by his skill players and the scheme that he's in. If another quarterback were to put up similar stats, even if Josh Allen had the same year that he had last year, he wouldn't win it because some guy would be better. But if it's kind of like last year, then yeah, I think without Diggs, people would look at Allen and go, look what he did without Diggs. Isn't that great?
It's also, I think, worth pointing out, and I'm not sure this is so great, but in the last 11 MVP votes, the winner has always been a quarterback, of course, since 2012, Adrian Peterson. After that, a quarterback only has won the award. And every one of them, Aaron, his team finished no worse than a 2 seed in their conference in the playoffs. Allen could win. He's the second favorite. We know how good he is. But the Bills had better win 12 games, I think, for him to have a chance. What do you think to that?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Like first of all, the best quarterback normally drives a team that's one of the best teams. So that, you know, that's part of the reason for that. But also, I think you're right. I think that people want to, you know, they want to vote for somebody who's on one of the top 4 or 5 teams in the league, and so you want to be one of the top 4 or 5 teams in the league. Now, the exception is, if, for example, Miami wins 14 games, but Buffalo wins 13, then I think, you know, yes, they wouldn't be a top 2 seed, but you would absolutely be an MVP candidate in that case.
Well, let's get then to the chances of all this, which is right. What the almanac is more interested in.
Yeah, what tales does the almanac tell us this year about the Buffalo Bills of 2024, Aaron?
Well, remember, first of all, that my projections tend to be maybe a little bit over-conservative. It's something that I always need to work on, but there is a reason for that, right? You know, big injuries are more likely than you think they are. They wreck team seasons. That being said, so we have Buffalo projected with 9.5 average wins, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's 10th in the league. The problem is, DVOA-wise, their mean projection is 6th in the league, but they have the hardest projected schedule.
And that starts in the AFC East, doesn't it? I mean, what do the Dolphins and Jets, or even the Patriots, look like? I mean, of course, it's rebuilding time there, but you know, they've drafted some talent, and their defense was pretty good. They've got some good players.
Yeah, the basically the AFC East is 3.5 good teams, right? Like, we have Miami, Buffalo, and the Jets all in our top 12. And then New England, we have their defense better than I think people will expect. We think their defense is going to be very good. Obviously, the offense is a bit of a wreck, but the defense is going to be pretty good. Plus, you play the NFC West, which is a good division with good teams in it. And, you know, you play the first-place schedule when it comes to the three games that are determined by where you finished in the standings the year before, which means that you have to play not just Houston, but also you have to play Kansas City, you have to play Baltimore, and then over in the NFC, I believe you have to play Detroit.
Right. Two of those three on the road. Well, three out of four on the road if you include Houston as well. And of course, Kansas City would never win here, though. That's the one home game of those games. They would never win here. As you know, with these things, just like the MVP vote, the playoffs don't exist, Aaron. So we just have to, you know, we're just working in a regular season world here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's tough because, you know, the general belief of analytics people, and I think my belief too, is that I don't feel like there is something special about the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like the Chiefs, if the Bills beat the Chiefs close in the regular season and the Chiefs beat the Bills close to the playoffs, it means those teams are roughly equal. I mean, yes, the Chiefs raised their game in the playoffs last year. That is true. And, you know, obviously the playoffs are more important because that determines who wins the Super Bowl, and that's the goal of the whole thing. But, I mean, remember, Kansas City, I believe their playoff wins last year were all only by one score. So it's not like they, like, walked through the playoffs like the 89 49ers or the 85 Bears, just, like, leaving nothing but wreckage in their wake.
Yeah. You mentioned you've got the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets all in the top 12. What order are they in? You gave us the number on the Bills, 9.5. Are the Jets or the Dolphins ahead of that?
We have Miami slightly ahead of Buffalo. And then the Jets are a bit behind that because the Jets have the number 2 projected defense, but only an average projected offense. Because we're going by, first of all, what Aaron Rodgers did in his last healthy season, and second of all, that you don't know what to expect from a 40-year-old man coming back from a torn Achilles. You can't expect that that's going to be a great offense. What you can expect is that it's going to be a better offense than it was last year.
Right.
Yeah, that would seem to be one of the tougher challenges, I would think, in the projections world, would be Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, both Rodgers and Cousins, to be frank, are difficult to project. But it's not difficult to project those defenses. I mean, defense is harder to project than offense, and there's more variability in it. But based on everything we know, Jets' defense, very good. Falcons' defense, very bad.
What's the main explanation for Miami on top? Is that the schedule, or is there something more?
They come out as a slightly better projected offense. I think in part because of the loss of Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
And Buffalo comes out as slightly ahead in special teams, and they're basically even in defense.
You know, the loss of
Buffalo, yes, Buffalo has the harder schedule.
The loss of Diggs, Aaron, you know what's happening here is I think people are starting to, not that they can't mean it, I shouldn't say it like that, but talk themselves into
this is
actually better because, you know, this is how Allen talks, right? I mean, players are always going to talk like this too, coaches. What you are is better. You know, like just tougher to predict defensively and so on. How much credit would you give that take?
The question is, what happened to Diggs in the second half of last year? And was that going to carry over? Now, most of our research shows that players and teams that dramatically change in the second half of the year, that doesn't tend to carry over to the following year, right? So I don't know whether Diggs, whether he just lost effectiveness or whether it was an injury. If it's an age-related loss of effectiveness and it's going to roll over to this year, then, yeah, they probably didn't lose that much. But based on, you know, the likelihood is that he's going to be a better player than he was in the second half of last year, then, yeah, they lost something. Yeah. Look, they're expecting a lot from Keon Coleman, but you don't know what you're getting out of a rookie. You don't know what you're getting out of a rookie, a second-round rookie in particular, as opposed to Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right. Aaron Schatz with us. The Almanac is available for download today. FTN Fantasy to find it. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here on WGR. The Bills receivers. You mentioned Coleman there. You've got Curtis Samuel, who's had a career and has been kind of sort of a player that a lot of people seem to like, but just has not been, you know, ever like a number one guy.
Yeah, he's just kind of there, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Samuel, Coleman, Shakir, maybe even the dart throws later on in the offseason of Claypool or MVS. And there's other names, too. There are five or so second-round picks.
KJ Hamler, Andy Isabella. Like, we've got a bunch of journeyman wannabe players, it seems
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you think about it, between Isabella, Hamler, and Claypool, somebody will be used.
And do you have a lean there?
I guess I would lean Claypool. I don't know if Hamler can really stay healthy. And yeah. Isabella's never done it in the NFL. It just never happened.
I don't think he makes the team, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I doubt it.
At this point.
Claypool, on paper, like he's got the most, I think, talent. He's still pretty young. And it's, I think his reputation is mostly that it's been emotional problems more than it's been like how he can play. So, you know, if he can keep his head screwed on straight, maybe they get something out of that.
With
I don't
these
know.
Guys, you're also competing with Mac Hollins, who has a lot of special teams value.
Right.
Right. So, like, if you're Isabella, you have to be better enough than Hollins, because they probably keep Hollins because for special teams. So, you've got to be better enough than that. It probably doesn't happen.
Right. Aaron, what do the Chiefs look like? I think Bulldog agrees, they'll be better this year than last.
Yes, I think their offense will be better this year than last during the regular season. And they look like one of the top teams in the league. We have them third. In projected wins, we have them third.
Easier division. Still the first place thing, but easier division.
Yes, both Kansas City and Baltimore have easier schedules than both Houston and Buffalo.
How does the Baltimore one shake out? Because that's a division where everybody had a winning record. Is there something especially interesting that you see in one of the other teams there that would account for that at all?
No, it's more about the teams that they play. Like, they play the NFC East.
Yep.
And they play the AFC West. And we feel like the AFC West has one good team. And the NFC East, surprisingly, I mean, the thing is, we're probably going to be either wrong about Philadelphia or wrong about Washington, and one of those teams will be good. So probably they'll have two good teams, because Dallas.
NFC San Francisco, tops in the league, maybe?
As I say, we do have San Francisco as the best projected team in the league in both wins and DVOA, even though they do have a tough schedule this year. I mean, given how far ahead of the rest of the league Baltimore and San Francisco were during the regular season last year, it's really hard to imagine how our projection system would not have that as the top two teams in this year, even when you take away the talent, in particular the talent that Baltimore's lost in various places like offensive line and the Patrick Queen and things like that, Geno Stone. But, I mean, we still have San Francisco and Baltimore as the top two teams in the league this year.
What in putting this together, this is a very broad question, so I apologize if it's too big for the room, you know what I mean. What maybe was the biggest surprise, positively or negatively, going through this and putting this all together? Like, what if people who pick up this almanac or download it going to be surprised to see about a team, positively or negatively, that might be contrary to what the general perception is of the team?
If they care enough to care, then I think the most shocking projection is New Orleans.
Oh, I love it. They're good, right? They're good.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
But you know what they're also not? They're not bad. They're very mediocre. Mediocre means you're like the 16th best team in the league. They're not a top 10 team, but they're not a bottom 10 team. This is a team that was very average last year on both offense and defense. There's no reason to believe they're going to be any different this year than they were last year. You know, they lost. They had a couple more losses than you would expect from their underlying stats. So this year they probably won't have that.
Right.
They have an easy schedule. And they just look better than the other teams in their division because they're really boring.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
In mediocre. But you say New Orleans, and people think because they're so kind of boring, mm-hmm. people think that means bad. But that doesn't mean bad.
Okay, so the shock you're sensing is that they come off better than you think your readers would expect. And that's kind of what I said. But I think they're good, but
they were
more average wins than Buffalo.
Yep, schedule. They were top.
That schedule.
They were top 10 in scoring and points allowed.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they were third in the NFC in point differential.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they're better than people think, but I don't think they're good. I just think they're a very average team with a very easy schedule. And because nobody gets excited by Derek Carr. And,
right.
I mean, he's a good player, but no one gets excited by Cameron Jordan and, you know, Paulson Adebo and Marshon Lattimore. You know, you've got a reasonable team here. Just reasonable.
Coach, too. Like, you know, pick them out of a lineup, right?
Nobody's excited. I'm not excited by the coach at all. Right?
The Saints aren't excited about it. I mean, nobody's excited about this. Aaron Schatz with us. AFC South, Aaron. So how good do you think Houston is?
Really good.
Okay.
Really good. I mean, between acing the draft last year and Collins developing, and then some of the free agent moves that they've made, Houston looks really good. We have them very high.
And you've brought up Diggs already. Just sort of there's a question to be answered on, like, where he's at. But that's got to be, like, about as well as he could have done for a new opportunity, right? Going there with what Stroud was last year and not having to come in and be what he was for the Bills, which was like they're kind of their everything receiver-wise.
Right. If the Bills were eager to get rid of him for temperamental reasons, it's not like they exactly exiled him. Like he's in a pretty soft spot.
Yeah. Landed well.
And they meet October, right? They meet in October. That'll be fun. But yeah, I mean, Houston looks like a great team and a great opportunity. Absolutely. I am a believer. I'm definitely a Texas believer. And I'm much less of a believer in the rest of the division. Indianapolis was not as good as their record last year, and you can't expect a rookie quarterback to be good, and Anthony Richardson is effectively a rookie.
Does that carry over to Chicago?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Now, you can tell yourself the story where Chicago is, right, where it is good, where Caleb Williams is good, and they are good. And that's a harder story to tell yourself about, say, the New York Giants. Or the Denver Broncos, right? For mm-hmm. Chicago or Indianapolis, it seems to make more sense. But the way our projections work, we end up with those teams pretty low.
How about the Chargers with Harbaugh, who's been obviously successful NFL level and national champion in college? I noticed recently that their odds to make the playoffs were slightly better than 50-50, and I was not expecting that.
we're down on them compared to that. We have them down closer to the bottom of the league. It's really a rebuilding year for them as Harbaugh tries to mold the team in his image. The receivers are really bad. That just looks like a really bad. The fact that Josh Palmer is wide receiver one instead of wide receiver three is a problem.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, who you think should get the ball there. I mean, running backs wise, too.
McConkey
will be three. And then Quentin, you know, Johnston. Look, you can't write a guy off after his rookie year, but he was bad last year.
They gave J.K. Dobbins $50,000 in a signing bonus. I mean, that's like, what year? What decade are we in for that kind of
right? Did he commitment? Come off his job this summer working at Westinghouse or what?
Harbaugh wants to run the ball, and it's a different league these days. And he doesn't have a mobile quarterback. They're not going to put out a Greg Roman offense with a mobile quarterback who's going to be running read options and stuff. That's not how Herbert works.
How about Green Bay?
I like Green Bay. I like Green Bay. We have them behind Detroit, but I like Green Bay. They so much young talent, and like it's like they don't have a lot of like they don't have guys that are like, this is the top 25 young players, except for Jordan Love. What they have is like a lot of guys where you're like, this is the top 75 young players, and the Green Bay just has like guy after guy after guy that fit that bill.
You know, I was in Massachusetts a few weekends ago. I thought about buzzing you. I don't know. I'm not sure we're on the kind of level where I would be like, if I texted you and I was in, you know, somewhere near where, I don't even know where you are, but like I was in Littleton, Mass. And I thought,
I think that's somewhat near me. I'm in Worcester, Central Mass, central part of the state.
Yeah, you go right through, you go right past Holy Cross to get to where I was going. You know, like, hey, Aaron, what's going on? Should we hang out? Like, do you respond to a text like that?
Awkward.
I'm always looking for people to go get coffee with. I live around the corner from Holy Cross.
Okay, well, you know, I'm glad you said that. This is terrible. 2 days in a row. Right. Nick yesterday, and now I'm doing this with Aaron Schatz.
Yeah, we had Nick Bakay on yesterday. He's got that HBO Max show Bookie, and he's an old friend of ours from Buffalo. And Mike, at the last, right at the end, like, hey, I got this fantasy thing. I'd like you to do it. Like,
he's like, oh, I'd love to.
Sure.
Now we're having coffee.
Yeah,
I would really enjoy that, but, you know, anyway, sorry to be weird. All right, Aaron, so best practice here for getting the almanac, I mean, ftnfantasy.com. What's the right way to do this?
Yeah, ftnfantasy.com/almanac if you want to go straight to the almanac. Now, the prices are depend on whether you're an FTN subscriber, and I can go on and on about all the data that FTN has and the cool new data hub, stats hub that we're going to be introducing this year with you're going to be able to get, like, DVOA during the season, like, by type of routes, like with all kinds of charting data if you're like an FTN subscriber. So it's $40 for non-subscribers, $20 for subscribers, $10 for VIP members, or you can wait for the print copy, which will be available on Amazon sometime next week.
Congratulations, 20 years, right?
Yeah, this is the 20th book.
That's us, too. We are in our 21st year. Yep. Over here, so
yeah.
right together.
Yeah.
There it is. Now we have something to talk about.
Like, when you go get coffee, right.
Yeah.
Now we have a starting point, icebreaker. Thanks, Aaron.
How long we've been doing this?
That whole time. Thanks for today. Congrats on the almanac, and we'll talk again maybe closer to the season.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Aaron Schatz, FTN Fantasy. Why did I just sort of reach to turn my mic off? Because I hate how I'm doing.
You want to end this segment because you just asked
him? Yeah, I asked him out.
Right, right.
I mean, what is that?
On the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
who's on tomorrow's show that I will do this to?
No one yet. I don't know.
Zach Connor Rogers.
Connor Rogers. Okay,
well,
there we are.
That's your guy.
That's my guy. I've asked him out.
Yes.
Pretty much.
In New York.
Yeah, right. For Cheez-Its and Pop-Tarts at Star Bar. That's it. That's what... I'm a cheap date.
Aaron, are you interested in a ride to Bel Air, Maryland this weekend?
Swing by and get you.
Yeah, well, just... If you have nothing to do, nothing going on. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with the update next, 803-0550. How do those projections sound? 9.5 wins? Is the schedule a problem for the Bills? And we talked a lot of MVP stuff. Allen's chances, who's, you know, who might be the right kind of bet based on the prices. Not that you're looking at all that, but we'll talk some more about that as we go today. Thanks for listening. This is WGR.
Yes. Allen is, in my view, clearly the second best quarterback. So it's the next most likely person who could get away without a wide receiver, I suppose. But I just don't think that's a path you want to be down. I certainly understand. Look, Buffalo, there's a cap situation. You know, have to like think about the long term. It's hard not to look at the depth chart right now and say, ooh, that is a little bit of a shaky area.
ESPN's Seth Walder, it's been a big talking point today, discussion. Bill Barnwell wrote on the wide receivers, and as we get closer to camp, more time spent on just what do these depth charts look like. Ask yourself this, or I'll ask you this, even better.
Okay.
If I texted you out of the blue to see if you wanted to get coffee, what would you? No. If the Bills had not traded Stephon Diggs, but which we did not expect them to do.
No, I definitely did not.
And it's quiet time. And who knows, just like last year, what the relationships are. You know, last year we were coming up on Diggs doing this amazing heroic thing, which is speaking to the media and getting everybody to love him for it because he was so open or something. Like, you just don't know what that all was or is. He's still on the Bills. There's no trade. The Bills didn't get anything for him, like, that's on the team now. It's a future draft pick.
Right.
How differently would you feel about their chances? Because Aaron Schatz says the question of this move depends on, like, what's left with Diggs.
Right. If last year's drop-off was some combination of, you know, just circumstances that are largely, like, he doesn't have it. He's lost a half a step or what is it, age-related deterioration. You know, if that's what it is, then, you know, you feel, okay, well, they got out at the right time. Even with the $31 million dead cap, to go into the year counting on him to be what he's been, if you are relatively sure that that isn't possible any longer, then, you know, okay, then maybe you can convince me that that's a losing bet because you're going to try to feature him and he doesn't warrant it anymore. Teams are going to realize that. We heard some of that at the end of last year. Like he talked about, Diggs did, about how he was doubled so much and the Chiefs went like, no, we really didn't do that to you in the playoff game. So, like, you know, we just didn't have to worry about you as much is how they, and you know, I don't know how true that is. That could just be bravado.
Well, they had Snead.
Right.
Who was excellent. He's not with them anymore. He's right. In Tennessee, I think, but they have a
guy that's capable of locking down a number one without, like, lots of help, I suppose. That's right. So, but anyway, if you're convinced as an organization that he's not what he's been, even with the dead money, all right, I'm listening to you and I'm going, okay, maybe this is a better bet. I might have preferred you get an actual number one receiver to replace him, but you haven't done that. But even still, maybe it's better. But if it was just, you know, we're going to run more or whatever, just because it's not the first time it happened. I mean, he didn't drop off as precipitously in previous years, but there was a drag in 22, I think, late in the year on Diggs, mm-hmm. and certainly into the playoffs. So, I don't know, I'm talking and talking. I forgot really exactly where I'm going here. But I think it's possible they did a good thing. I don't know how likely it is. Like, if Diggs is still on the team, the conversation about how much better it is to have them not know who our featured guy is going to be doesn't exist. Instead, it's replaced by, no, he's still great. That's it. He's still great. Here's why last year ended the way it ended. And, you know, I don't know, that could be valid. That could also be smoke. I don't know. But we'd be, I think, working pretty hard to convince ourselves, not necessarily you and I, but like the fan base, that, no, he's still great.
I would feel about it the way I did last year. Because last year, like you said, there was a decline. And there was a temper tantrum. And then there was the mini camp thing. And so, okay, how is this going to go? And, you know, I tried to be as objective as possible. And my thought was, I think it'll probably go fine. Because I do believe in Stephon Diggs as a competitor and somebody that will really want to win, that will just push as hard as he can. I would still say that a year later.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, though, you can really want that, but be doing things that are causing trouble, distractions, and you can say all you want about, no, I just want to win. Like Ken Dorsey throwing the Bills computer around. He just wants to win. Well, that's not how you do it. That's not how you win. That's being a child. So I think that there was room for criticism here with Diggs, but, you know, sure, I want them to win too. Probably he goes all out, Allen does too, and they make it work. And, you know, there was always speculation that some of this was between them.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? That pretty much happened. You know, I mean, he started the season incredibly well last year, Diggs. There's no reason to question Allen's confidence in him or vice versa. Because, I mean, through 6 weeks, he had only monster games. He had over 100 yards in five of the first six games. And it was all, you know, it was probably funny to a lot of fans who will always take the Bills' side mm-hmm. that anybody spent 5 seconds questioning
right.
their motives.
Oh, there was a ton of that out there last year. Oh, look at them shaking hands. They're best friends. You guys should shut up.
Yeah, well.
You know, that's how that goes. But
I think I would feel very much like that right now. Not knowing anything more about how they feel about each other. What? Is he going to be on the team? Okay. He's going to start. He's going to get 10 targets a week.
Right.
And that's probably good. Maybe he's gotten older and it wouldn't be good, but I wouldn't expect that. I always want to be open to that, you know, not open like I'm hoping for it, but just sort of
it's about certainly honest. A space on the board. Yeah. Like he could really drop off.
It will happen.
Yep.
So that I think is a way of kind of answering the question without the question of like, so what's going to happen this year? Like, could Curtis Samuel make everybody forget about Stephon Diggs in like 5 seconds? I don't know. I guess it's possible, but there's nobody, Samuel included, a player that I like just fine, that is on his level.
Right. The best you could do if you want to really push for Curtis Samuel to be the guy that makes us, you know, makes all of this hand-wringing about the receiving core sound ridiculous, the best you can do is he's never really had a good quarterback. And now he's got Josh Allen. So that should, that you know, therefore he's going to go catch 90 passes or something. I don't know. Could that happen?
That's a good number.
Sure. Yeah, that's a, I mean, I would sign for that in a second from career. He's never caught 90 balls in the league, has he? I think his career high might be in the 70s.
I would not expect to find 90 catches.
Yeah, so that's the best you could do. He's never had a guy, now he's got a guy. And I don't know, that has some merit. I mean, the quarterback definitely matters to a receiver having success. But I, you know, that's just the best I can do, or I think the best you can do, anyone can do, to convince you that, oh no, Samuel's gonna, he's gonna be something he's never been in his career.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you see or hear Ryan McLeod on with Sabres Live today?
I read some quotes. I did not hear any of it.
They talked about his missing teeth.
Yeah, that's one of the clips I heard. Yeah.
He has 5 missing teeth. 3 on the top, in the middle, and 2 in the middle on the bottom. Like right down the middle. Missing teeth.
No.
And they asked him about Brian Duff, Marty Baron, asked him about how he lost his teeth, and he talked about high sticks he took in juniors and just sort of happened a long time ago. And they brought up the Eden Corn Festival. Maybe you shouldn't make plans to go, you know, eat
chomp
at the
ears
Eden
of corn
festival.
It seems tough without any, well, with 5 missing front teeth.
And I just love any reference to the East Eden Corn Festival. Any reference to it at all, I love. I went once, maybe 3 summers ago, mm-hmm. my family and I went. And I loved it. I loved the Eden Corn Festival. I love, too, that my daughter called it the Eaton Corn Festival.
Oh, right.
Which
I remember this now, yes.
I'm sort of having to make sure I don't call it that. I kind of want to call it that.
The Eaton Corn Festival?
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of that. I mean, she's not wrong.
She's not wrong.
It's in Eden, but it's an Eaton Corn Festival.
Also, today in Eden, a tornado.
Yeah.
Pretty rough.
Yeah, there's some dramatic footage making the rounds on the Twitter machine today.
You're calling it Twitter again.
Yeah. Old habits, you know. Yeah, like a roof ripped off a barn, that kind of stuff. There's one, I don't know, like a drone shot, I'm assuming, just kind of showing the path of the tornado. And that's just not something we see a lot here. That's Illinois.
I'm watching that right now.
Yeah.
Hope everyone's okay. I mean, it's pretty brutal. My daughter, again, back to her, she wanted to go for a bike ride at like 12:20 or something today. It's just she and I at the house. And I'm like, you know what? You can take a look at this map. Maybe not.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't mind. It's not going to be that bad, right? I'm like, you see this red?
Red.
And I said, there are tornado warnings in Erie County. She's like, oh, that's us. Like, yes, that is us. I'm like, they're to the south. If you want to try it,
yeah.
Just don't go too far, because there's a pretty good chance if you go quarter mile that way, you're going to want to turn around and bust it back here in about 5 minutes. So no tornado on the island, but we did get some pretty good storms there during that time of day. 803-0550 for your calls. MVP odds, what would your thoughts on this Bills season be? How would they be different, if at all, if they had not made the Diggs trade? Lines are open. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. England players running around like they're running from a fire.
They've gotten a go-ahead goal here in the 90th minute.
That's just the time to do it.
Yeah, it seems it's good. Yeah.
This is where an announcer actually could say, perhaps, it could not have come at a better time.
Mm-hmm.
Which the announcers love to say that. It's usually wrong.
Yeah.
It could not have come. Well, sure it could. A Sabres goal. You know when I could have used that? Game 6 of the 99 finals.
That would have been a better time.
That would have been a better time.
Right. James Patrick's shot bounces in off the crossbar.
It could not have come at a better time. That's a bet. That is a bet.
Yeah.
But this one seems pretty timely. So are we going to watch it here? Is it going to count? We have to sit around and wonder if it's going to count?
I think so. England had scored 10 minutes ago or so, and that was ruled offsides. I didn't get a good look at the replays, but, you know, whatever.
That's a great shot.
This looks clean, and yeah, real nice shot.
Through the legs of the defender.
Just past the goalie's outstretched right arm off the post, far post.
Far post along the grass. Is that going to be grass?
I believe that is grass. Yeah,
I think that's grass.
Yeah, I think they have to play on grass. Did you watch any of the Argentina Canada last night?
Yes.
Was it raining, or like the field was wet? I think so. You could see
MetLife.
And that was grass too. They put grass in for these soccer matches. It's funny, soccer insists upon grass. And the NFL, whatever, do what you want. Murder our guys' knees. We don't care.
Yeah, especially that stadium.
Right, exactly. So I was watching right from the beginning, and they talked about how humid it was, but you could see puddles as the guys were stepping and kicking. I'm like, what is going on here? And I never really noticed the rain, but. Anyway, it was a little sloppy, I guess I would say. Not muddy, but sloppy.
Cool. I mean, not cool.
Yeah. Poor Canada.
Argentina wins again.
Yeah.
Just, with soccer, when one team is just better.
Yeah.
And the other team just cannot do a thing. They get kind of close to the area, and, it's 3-on-3. It's not even going to be like a numbers. Yeah. But it's still, the pass comes across, and somebody just kicks it away. You hardly ever get a good look.
Right.
When you're playing a better team like that.
Right.
I mean, that's the World Cup champs.
Yeah.
Slight on Canada.
They're through to the final. We'll see who goes through from the other side. I think what is tonight is
Uruguay, Colombia.
Right.
I think.
And I think I have this right. Spain, quite a few years ago now, but in the 2000s, won the Euros, then a World Cup, and then the Euros again the next time. And Argentina has a look at doing that, and they would be the only two teams in history in tournaments of that caliber to do that.
I think that's correct.
Because they won the Copa America the last time it was played, then won the World Cup most recently, and now here they are in the final. So pretty cool history.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
England-Spain would be the game, and that was the last final in this, wasn't it?
I don't remember now.
We had people
England,
over.
Italy.
Italy, five letters.
Italy, no. Right? Not Spain.
Very different place. I can't look. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm trying to sort of laugh this off, but around you, it's not at all the same place.
No, it's fine. Italy's next. We gotta get to Italy now. Been to Spain. Let's get to Italy.
Is that actually the plan, though?
I don't know. You'll
never go back to Spain, though. Too many other places.
I wouldn't say never, but yeah, we're going to want to go other places. Here's a quick little... I still have stuff rattling around in my head from this trip. I mean, we were just gone for so long. A lot of stuff happened. On the train. We had a long train. It was a 200-mile-an-hour train. But we spent a good part of Friday on trains, going from Malaga to Madrid and then Madrid to Barcelona. At some point, right, it's Friday. I know we're flying on Sunday. My head is starting to... I did a good job of not doing any of this during the trip, aside from this time on the train. It's Friday. This is when I noticed our website doesn't work in Spain. Mm. And I'm like, you know, I got Wi-Fi on the train. I'm hanging out. There's no soccer on yet. Let me just sort of catch up on work-type stuff. Let me read about the draft, read about, you know, what are people saying about the free agency and all the stuff with the Sabres and whatever. So I'm starting to think about work, getting home, and, like, what's, you know, who are we going to have on Monday, whatever, right? I glance, my wife on her phone is Googling, like she's got a web page open exploring Zimbabwe. Like,
oh,
that's
baby.
My wife. Like, we're still on the trip, this trip, and she's already like Africa. I adore that about her. We're a very good match because I'm like, I wonder if the kids took the garbage out and she's over here like, oh, let's go to the Congo.
Yes.
Bad choice, probably. It's tough times in the Congo, I think.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Should be like President Bartlett in the West Wing. What's next? I
mean, right.
This is over. Let's go. We got to plan the next one.
Speaking of over, this is over. England advances to the final on Sunday against Spain.
England against Spain. I don't know who I like. I guess I'll say England.
Good. Let's bet.
Maybe I will. I got to do some research first. If the Bills had not traded Stephon Diggs, how much differently would you feel about their chances? Also, Josh Allen's MVP prospects. We talked about these topics already today. We'll get back to it. Would love to have you join us. 803-0550 is how. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Any reference to it at all, I love. I went once, maybe three summers ago, my family and I went, and I loved it. Love the Eaton Corn Festival. I love, too, that my daughter called it the Eaton Corn Festival.
Oh, right.
Which
I remember this now, yes.
I'm sort of having to make sure I don't call it that. I kind of want to call it that.
The Eaton Corn Festival?
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of that. I mean, she's not wrong. It's in Eden, but it's an Eaton Corn Festival.
Also, today in Eden, a tornado.
Yeah.
Pretty rough.
Yeah, there's some dramatic footage making the rounds on the Twitter machine today.
You're calling it Twitter again.
Yeah. Old habits, you know. Yeah, like a roof ripped off a barn, that kind of stuff. There's one, I don't know, like a drone shot, I'm assuming, just kind of showing the path of the tornado. And that's just not something we see a lot here. That's Illinois.
I'm watching that right now.
Yeah.
Hope everyone's okay. I mean, it's pretty brutal. My daughter, again, back to her, she wanted to go for a bike ride at like 12:20 or something today. It's just she and I at the house. And I'm like, you know what? You can take a look at this map. Maybe not.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't mind. It's not going to be that bad, right? I'm like, see this red?
Red.
And I said, there are tornado warnings in Erie County. She's like, oh, that's us. Like, yes, that is us. I'm like, they're to the south. If you want to try it,
yeah.
Just don't go too far because there's a pretty good chance if you go quarter mile that way, you're going to want to turn around and bust it back here in about 5 minutes. So no tornado on the island, but we did get some pretty good storms there during that time of day. 803-0550 for your calls. MVP odds, what would your thoughts on this Bills season be? How would they be different, if at all, if they had not made the Diggs trade? Lines are open. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. England. England players running around like they're running from a fire.
They've gotten a go-ahead goal here in the 90th minute.
That's just the time to do it.
Yeah, it seems that is, it's good. Yeah.
This is where an announcer actually could say, perhaps, it could not have come at a better time.
Mm-hmm.
Which the announcers love to say that. It's usually wrong.
Yeah.
It could not have come. Well, sure it could. A Sabres goal. You know when I could have used that? Game 6 of the 99 finals.
That would have been a better time.
That would have been a better time.
Right. James Patrick's shot bounces in off the crossbar.
It could not have come at a better time. That's a bet. That is a bet.
Yeah.
But this one seems pretty timely. So are we going to watch it here? Is it going to count? We have to sit around and wonder if it's going to count?
I think so. England had scored 10 minutes ago or so, and that was ruled offsides. I didn't get a good look at the replays, but, you know, whatever.
That's a great shot.
This looks clean, and yeah, real nice shot.
Through the legs of the defender.
Just past the goalie's outstretched right arm off the post, far post.
Far post along the grass. Is that going to be grass?
I believe definitely. That is grass. Yeah,
I think that's grass.
Yeah, they have to play on grass. Did you watch any of the Argentina Canada last night?
Yes.
Was it raining, or like the field was wet? Like
I think so.
You could see like
MetLife.
Yeah, and that was grass too. They put grass in for these soccer matches. It's funny, like, you know, soccer insists upon grass. And the NFL, whatever, do what you want. Murder our guys' knees. We don't care.
Yeah, especially that stadium.
Right, exactly. So I was watching right from the beginning, and they talk about how humid it was, but like you could see puddles like as the guys were stepping and kicking. I'm like, what is going on here? And I never really noticed the rain, but... Anyway, it was a little sloppy, I guess I would say. Not muddy, but sloppy.
Cool. I mean, not cool.
Yeah. Poor Canada.
Argentina wins again.
Yeah.
Just, you know, like with soccer, when one team is just better.
Yeah.
And the other team just cannot do a thing. They get kind of close to the area, and, you know, it's 3-on-3. It's not even going to be like a numbers. Yeah. But it's still, they just the pass comes across, and somebody just kicks it away. You hardly ever get a good look.
Right.
When you're playing a better team like that.
Right.
I mean, that's the World Cup champs.
Yeah.
Slight on Canada.
They are now, they're through to the final. We'll see who goes through from the other side. I think, what is tonight? Is
Uruguay, Colombia.
Right.
I think.
And I think I have this right. Spain, quite a few years ago now, but in the 2000s, won the Euros, then a World Cup, and then the Euros again the next time. And Argentina has a look at doing that, and they would be the only two teams in history in tournaments of that caliber to do that.
I think that's correct.
Because they won the Copa America the last time it was played, then won the World Cup most recently, and now here they are in the final. So pretty cool history.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
England-Spain would be the game, and that was the last final in this, wasn't it?
I don't remember now.
We had people
England,
over.
Italy.
Italy, five letters. Italy, right? Not Spain. Very different place. I can't look. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm trying to sort of laugh this off, but around you, it's not at all the same place.
No, it's fine. Italy's next. We got to get to Italy now. Been to Spain. Let's get to Italy.
Is that actually the plan now?
I don't know. You'll
never go back to Spain though. Many other places.
I wouldn't say never, but yeah, we're going to want to go other places. Here's a quick little... I still have stuff rattling around in my head from this trip. I mean, we were just gone for so long. A lot of stuff happened. On the train. We had a long train. It was a 200-mile-an-hour train. But we spent a good part of Friday on trains, going from Malaga to Madrid and then Madrid to Barcelona. At some point, right, it's Friday. I know we're flying on Sunday. My head is starting to... I did a good job of not doing any of this during the trip, aside from this time on the train. It's Friday. This is when I noticed our website doesn't work in Spain.
Mm.
And I'm like, you know, I got Wi-Fi on the train. I'm hanging out. There's no soccer on yet. Let me just sort of catch up on work-type stuff. Let me read about the draft, read about, you know, what are people saying about the free agency and all the stuff with the Sabres and whatever. So I'm starting to think about work, getting home, and, like, what's, you know, who are we going to have on Monday, whatever, right? I glance, my wife on her phone is Googling, like she's got a web page open exploring Zimbabwe. Like,
oh,
that's
baby.
My wife. Like, we're still on the trip, this trip, and she's already like Africa. I adore that about her. We're very good match because I'm like, I wonder if the kids took the garbage out and she's over here like, oh, let's go to the Congo.
Yes.
Bad choice, probably. It's tough times in the Congo, I think.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Should
yeah.
be like President Bartlett in the West Wing. What's next?
I mean, right.
This is over. Let's go. We got to plan the next one.
Speaking of over, this is over. England advances to the final on Sunday against Spain.
England against Spain. I don't know who I like. I guess I'll say England.
Good. Let's bet.
Maybe I will. I got to do some research first. If the Bills had not traded Stephon Diggs, how much differently would you feel about their chances? Also, Josh Allen's MVP prospects. We talked about these topics already today. We'll get back to it. We'd love to have you join us. 803-0550 is how. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.